Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Thank you, Edith. Thank you. And welcome to ENN on this Friday evening from New York City on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Sitting on a different couch today, I am Peter Rosenberg. ENN is brought to you by our friends at All American Ford. Check them out, All American Ford, all right? AllAmericanFord.net. You can buy a car from the comfort of your own home and have it delivered. The sweetest white glove service you could ever imagine from All American Ford. We'll start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
Okay, LeGreco Rosenberg and you on Yes, 98.7 ESPN.
And we'll say good evening to Don. You know what someone pointed out that could have been a drop that wasn't in Drop Madness? I know we don't talk about it often, but the laughing that occurred after Tidbits. Well, did you hear that? All I had to do was say the word, and the laughter started. I mean, the drop didn't live, but the laughter lived on. There were a lot of moments, you know, but listen, the bottom line is we're down to the final four, and you have just a few minutes left to vote. TMKS ESPN right now on your Twitter vehicle. It's Kay versus Rosenberg. It's Don versus Andrew. I mean, this is a massive, massive final, and we want to break 3,000 votes, so I hope you'll go out and vote. Get up this morning. Rex Ryan was on the show, and he had a lot of interesting things to say. Here's Rex going aggressively after Amari Cooper.
I wouldn't have paid this guy. To me, this is the biggest disappearing act in the National Football League. He doesn't show up on the road. He doesn't show up against, when the competition's good, when he's against the top corners, that guy disappears. And to me, he reminds me, it's only one time that I can remember in recent memory on elite receivers and disappearing acts like Amari Cooper. That was the kid that the Raiders had a few years ago. Oh, that's right. That was Amari Cooper. This is who he is. And Dan, he doesn't love football. Hell with it. He stops his routes. He does all this. I wouldn't have paid this turd. No way in hell.
All right.
No way in hell would I have paid this guy. To me, you pay Dak Prescott. Forget all those numbers. That, you know, they're number one in the league because of Dak Prescott. Not because of this guy. It's a deep draft at receiver. They made a huge mistake right here.
And a few hours later, the same man.
I can't believe I said that, used that word. Obviously, it was a poor choice by me to say what I said about Amari. And anybody knows me. No, I mean, look, I'm quite honestly, I think the world of every player and have a great deal of respect for every single player in the National Football League, including Amari Cooper. Now, with that being said, I think the Cowboys overspent for Amari Cooper. And the reason for it is I don't doubt that this is an elite player. He has those traits.
Well, you know what's funny, Peter? So in
that?
The apology, he pretty much calls him the same thing, but without calling him that. He just doesn't like him as a player.
Which is fine.
Right.
I mean, I think it's a fair analysis. He's a former defensive coordinator and head coach of the league, and it's a strong opinion for sure. But you know, listen,
I'm stuck on the he doesn't love the game line. I feel like that's a line that would really offend players. They put their lives on the line out there. I mean, football is a real game. I just feel like he doesn't love the game is so strong.
But you realize that if Rex feels that way, as somebody that grew up in the sport, that he would be offended by that. Like, if he believes that Amari doesn't try at times, it doesn't love the game, that's going to infuriate Rex. So you were looking earlier in the show about, like, what could Rex's problem be with Cooper? Like, beyond football, maybe it's the fact that, God, this guy's got a world of talent, and he doesn't bust his butt, he doesn't work hard, he doesn't love the game. And I think all that still is fair. But to name call to me is just a cheap way of getting your point across.
Now, the one thing that's part of this story, though, the reason the Dallas Cowboys had to give him so much money is that they made a ridiculous trade that kind of handcuffed them. If they didn't sign him, they would have looked terrible. And the same thing is going on with the Giants and Leonard Williams.
Sure.
They made a terrible trade that they would lose face if they didn't sign him, and so they have to transition tag him, and it's costing a tremendous amount of money that a player of that level is not worth. I'm not saying he's a worthless player, but they put themselves in a position that they're going to have to grossly overpay him, exactly what the Cowboys did, and that's why Rex Ryan criticized the player who he didn't like, why he got so much money. Well, he got so much money because they made a trade that they have to justify, and if they don't sign the guy, they gave away a couple of number one draft picks for what?
Exactly.
Thank you. Our very own, I don't know if you know this, but Bart Scott, he's our very own. And he defended his guy, or at least explained maybe where he could have been coming from.
And Rex has been in the media for probably about 2 years. I've been in it a little bit longer than him. What happens is you have to make sure that whenever you're critiquing an athlete that you don't go with a personal derogatory term, so to speak. You know what I mean? And sometimes when you're talking as a coach, he's speaking as he would speak as he was breaking down an opponent. So he's speaking as he would speak amongst his coaches. Like, this dude's a turd. This dude don't compete. He don't want it. He ain't got that dog in him. That's what he's saying. But he has to understand that when you're on television, you have to soften it up a little bit. And that's why you just got to have stuff like Bart's bum list. He could just say, I'm going to put Amari on Bart's bum list. And everybody would have understood, because that's a funnier way, softer way than saying turd. Turd sounds a little harsh.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier.
By the way,
there's the off-the-air speak and the on-the-air speak.
Yeah, it was coach talk. Remember I said earlier it sounded like he'd be talking to a GM. Like that, it was definitely locker room talk. It wasn't what you do in the media. And I think Bart's not wrong. Rex is not a bad guy. He's just learning how to do it. And listen, I know I've had my moments of offending people. So while it was offensive, I certainly get it. I'm not going to kill the guy for it.
No, listen, let's be honest, Peter, right? There's many times you're talking to a friend about a player, or we can be in a show meeting kind of talking about a player, and we might be kind of derogatory in how we kill the player, but we realize, you know, that's not something you're going to go public with. That's not going to be on the air. Like, fans do it all the time too. I wouldn't trade for that turd. And then it's time to analyzing him. I wouldn't trade for him because I think there's some shortcomings that would really bother
right.
me. You know, it just, and he's a newbie. He's been at it for a couple of years. And listen, there's that fine line. Full disclosure, people, when you're an analyst or you're paid to give an opinion, you can make a lot more money being animated and really going at it and having a hot take. So we're in the business of doing that. It's just that fine line of making sure your take doesn't get personal.
The NFL's top medical officer says certain conditions must be met for the season to start on time. Dr. Alan Sills said, certain prerequisites, including widespread testing for coronavirus and the removal of gathering restrictions. Thanks, Doc. Due to the pandemic, must be met for the league's 2020 regular season to start on time. He said this to NFL.com. 2 days after the league's general counsel, Jeff Pasch, told reporters on a conference call that the expectation is to begin the regular season as scheduled in September. So we'll see. Obviously an optimistic hope from the NFL. But clearly, and for nothing else, this means the NFL is certainly not a league that would be considering doing an empty stadium. And let's be real, there are just too many players, coaches, and staff to even consider that anyway.
Right.
If there's widespread testing, though, you could do it. At least playing without fans.
Yeah, but I think what the doctor is trying to say is, if you remember, Michael, when we started to slowly go into the shutdown, it was, we can't have gatherings of 1,000 people. We can't have gatherings of 500. We can't have gatherings of 250. We can't have gatherings of 100. And eventually it dwindled down to zero. What if it ramps back up that way where it's like, okay, you're able to go out. We just can't have gatherings of more than 100 people. Well, then the NFL's out because it's going to take more. You know, so they might have to wait till you get to like 250, 500 before they can think of a game. They've got rosters of 50 plus guys. I mean, just the players themselves can exceed 100, never mind the coaches and the staff and the medical and all that. So I think that's what he's saying is that you'd have to get an all clear. And I would think a gathering, if you're going to put on a football game with everybody that's there that is necessary to broadcast that game or to play that game, you're talking in excess of over 500 people.
Yeah.
So that's the all clear you would have to have.
Former Jaguars left tackle Tony Boselli talked about his COVID-19 hospitalization. He was in the ICU And he said that after he got there, he arrived, after he got to the hospital, he discovered he could be in even deeper trouble. Quote, I don't know if I ever was like, I thought I was going to die, but I remember having the conversation with myself. I don't want to die here. He said, but then his oxygen level improved enough over the next 24 hours, and he improved a bit daily, and he was discharged on Tuesday without needing additional oxygen.
And where is he, Peter? Where was he located?
I don't know where he was located. He's obviously a former Jaguar, but I don't know where the hospital was. Justin Turner had...
I do have an update on a story that you had in yesterday's CNN.
Please. Ooh.
Through our correspondent, Rick DiPietro, whose in-laws live in Tampa, sources tell them that Tom Brady is paying Derek Jeter $75,000 a month to rent the house.
That's not too bad. He can afford it.
Well, I don't think it's a case of whether he can afford it or not.
Think about how light work that is for Tom Brady.
Or for Giselle.
That's what, a series?
I know.
That's a three and out, right?
By the way, Don, he ended up in the Mayo Clinic, Pacelli.
Well, Mayo Clinic in Minnesota?
Isn't the Mayo Clinic in upstate New York? No, Rochester, Minnesota, sorry.
It's in Minnesota.
Yeah, the Mayo Clinic, yep. I think, is in Minnesota.
Minnesota. Justin Turner proposed the idea of a home run derby after the 10th inning to end games. He said instead of playing 17 innings, he was talking to Spectrum Sportsnet, he said you get one extra inning, you play the 10th inning, no one scores, then you go home run derby. You take each team's three best hitters and you give them all five outs and see who hits the most home runs.
Now, that sounds like Yo-Yoville. How is it any different than the shootout?
It's not. That's what he's basing on.
But who throws the ball? Is it your own teammate? Is it a coach? Or are you pitching to those three best players?
I would think you would do it under the format that you have with the home run derby at the All-Star break, where I guess each team would designate the guy that throws the ball. So you would have like a coach or someone that's designated as the home run derby pitcher. But it would be a member of your team. That's the way I think it would be fair to do it. And it wouldn't take very long. You know, it sounds outrageous from the sensibility of well, you can't do that. Baseball's too sacrosanct to make that kind of a change. But there would be people that would be very interested.
I would like it.
If it's tied at the end of that, then they're going to juggle swords for the next thing.
You might laugh at me. That's not a fair comparison. You might laugh at me, but and this might sound crazy, I would rather have you play, let's say, three extra innings. And if no one wins, the first team to put someone on base loses. And walk, game's over. Base hit, game's over. Because
hear it out.
You can't go to softball pitching for a home run derby. That's my problem with it. Like, that's weird. You have them serve up home runs. It's just it's weird. You need to have the pitching in a regular game. It's hard for you to picture you're no longer being pitched too hard.
I just think that, and obviously Michael with his sword juggling comment tells you all you need to know about what he thinks about
exactly.
The idea.
He's in.
But when it's about getting more eyeballs, getting more interest, there would be games, Michael, where the ratings might be higher for the home run derby than they were for the game. Like if it's Sunday night baseball, right? It's 11 o'clock. You're on Twitter and you see, oh, look at the Angels Mariners is going to the 10th inning. Yawn. And then you look on Twitter, it's like, oh, the 10th inning went scoreless. They're tied at one. They're going to the home run derby. You tell me there wouldn't be people that would scramble to ESPN to watch that home run derby that had, like, no interest in the game on Sunday night, but now all of a sudden they're popping on to check that out?
No, I would agree, and I think that after the tie, they would tune in even more for the sword juggling.
But sword juggling isn't a part of baseball.
Don. Don't
hey, listen, you're talking to somebody that absolutely despises the shootout, okay? But I'm a diehard hockey fan that you're not trying to win over. But I can't ignore the fact that when they started doing the shootout, that there were people that were like genuinely interested in it, and like non-hockey fans were like, this is really cool.
It's not the worst thing.
Michael. There was sword juggling, mm-hmm. could you get a separate designated IL spot if someone is hurt in the sword juggling?
It's a good point. And then if somebody actually really injures themselves by misjuggling, do I say see ya if I'm on the mic at the point? Or is that just too wrong?
This is the spot for the bullpen comment.
See ya!
I've been saying that for a long time.
Now, let me ask you this, Michael. Obviously, this would become a part of baseball equipment, right? You'd have to have the swords there to juggle.
Right.
So would they have, like, a sword knight?
Would Ooh.
They, you know, oh, I've got.
I don't
got,
think you could do that.
You know, oh, I got an auto. I got to go autograph baseball from Aaron Judge. Oh, really? Well, I got an autograph bat from Giancarlo Stanton. Well, wait a minute.
I've oh, my
got,
God. Don.
You know, I got here. I got the Mike Trout autographed sword.
But by the way, Don, this is better. You're not thinking about this the right way. Instead of sword juggling, it becomes sword fighting. And then the cool thing is, much like hockey, you know how you have certain players on your team who are just there to fight? You have one player on your baseball team who's just there to kill people with a sword.
Right.
Like, that's the only reason he's there. Why is the Hound from Game of Thrones
right.
here?
Right,
he just
right.
hacks people to death.
You would have scouts all over the country that would be scouting, like, fencing matches in college trying to find that
We just
that
look for one, man.
Signing.
We just need for one. Speaking of fights, Anthony Joshua's fight against the great Kubrat Pulev has been postponed because of the coronavirus. It was scheduled for June 20th in London. I mean, whatever. Anthony Joshua never fights, it feels like. But, I mean, obviously I understand that one being canceled, certainly. The 2024 Super Bowl, which is scheduled to be played in New Orleans, may have to be moved to another location because of a calendar conflict if the NFL switches to a 17-game season. If the Super Bowl gets pushed back a week to February 11th that year, as expected, it will run into Mardi Gras. So the NFL, the New Orleans Saints, and the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation have been working on contingency plans. The most likely scenario is moving the New Orleans Super Bowl to a later year, though they haven't ruled it out that they could play it on February 4th somehow. We shall see.
Well, that'd be one heck of a party, though, if they had both going on at the same time.
Hey, RJ, you have
Mardi Gras.
There you go.
Wow. RJ, you still have the Rich Kleiman audio over there with Will Cain?
I have it.
Oh, you have it, Michael?
Yeah.
So, my friend of the show and my friend, Rich Kleiman, was on with Will Cain doing a podcast interview, which is going to be released in full next week. And Rich had a very interesting answer regarding if the NBA should come back this year.
The NBA and the NHL happen to have the end of their seasons occur in the middle of this. And the NFL and baseball can probably start later and push back training camps and OTAs. But for the NBA, it's like, I don't know. Like, maybe it's just unsalvageable. And I get it. There'll have to be something to be figured out from the financial standpoint. And I'd love to be able to have a voice in that because I understand it's real. But what I do know is that maybe this just can't be fixed.
Mm-hmm. So we heard from Rich Kleiman that it can't be fixed. We heard from Jeff Van Gundy, who said he doesn't think they're going to play.
A lot of smart people don't seem to think it's possible, which is obviously a bummer.
Yeah, but as presently constituted, it does seem like that's the fair analysis. But things can change, and maybe I'm just being overly optimistic. But
here's JVG, Jeff Van Gundy, earlier.
Most people would disagree with me, but I think what's most feasible is no season at all. Until there's an immunity throughout our country or a medical protocol where we can treat the disease or a vaccine, I don't see any sports being played in our country.
Strong.
So now on that note, Joel Embiid is working with 76ers ownership to get antibody tests for healthcare workers. He's working with 76ers managing partner Josh Harris and co-managing partner David Blitzer on a $1.3 million contribution to fund COVID-19 antibody testing for 1,000 healthcare workers in the region. Of course, antibodies are the key to us eventually being able to survive this
Live.
Thing.
Yeah.
Well, all the dangers that you have from quarantining with your family, James Jones of the Texas Rangers maybe got the worst reality. He tore the patella tendon in his right knee Monday after tripping over one of his son's toys and falling awkwardly.
Mm.
The 31-year-old underwent season-ending surgery Wednesday and is expected to be sidelined until spring training 2021.
I'll tell you, no joke. I'm very careful around the house because the last thing I think anybody wants to do right now is go to an emergency room, right? I mean, you don't want to bother those people with like something silly, like if you broke your ankle doing something stupid.
It's one of the things I really worry about is the people who have health conditions right now. Like, mm-hmm. imagine if, God forbid, you just got a cancer diagnosis before this happened, and yep. you were setting up for your battle against cancer, and you had doctors all prepared, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying they're not able to still help you, of course, but you just have to imagine that there's such distraction and focus on this stuff that if you're dealing with so many other medical issues, it's got to be terrifying.
I wonder how many people are going to get seriously ill because they refuse to go into a doctor's office. I mean, I've been very open. My stomach has been hurting me. I've been consulting with a doctor, and he said, you should come in for it. I don't want to come in. I mean, you have to weigh. You're going to like roll the dice, and that's nothing serious. You go into a hospital, you go into a doctor's office, it's scary.
Well, you know, I told you the story about my kidney stones, which mm-hmm. Peter doesn't
too
like.
Much detail, yes.
But what I do, Dr. Baum is my doctor, big fan of the show. I go once a year to get checked, and my appointment's April 8th. So they called me and said, you know, we're still operating because a lot of doctor offices are still, you know, trying to keep things together for the reason Peter just said, because there are people that have serious conditions and need to get examined. But they gave me the option of coming in or rescheduling for a later date or of doing a teleconference where I could talk to the doctor. Obviously, I can't get examined the way I would in person, but you know,
that's a different kind of. If you were to have them examine that area, that's a different kind of teleconference.
Yeah, don't even have to use Zoom. They could just use Pornhub. It would be great.
I know.
Well, I will take that as a compliment, Michael.
From SodaCam,
what you could probably for the characters that are on that site, but unless there's a particular fetish that you have, but I think that they're thinking outside the box, Peter. Right, to answer your question, that I think a lot of doctors are thinking just like that. Because, yeah, the hospitals existed before this for a myriad of other reasons besides viruses. So there are things that go on every day, and people need to be taken care of. And you're right, there's people that are on chemo that have to continue to go. So
it's a lot, man.
But these are the doctors. You know, we talk about the doctors that are on the front line fighting this disease. There's other doctors that are also taking care of everything else that isn't being focused on, that it has to be. Because for some people... There's bigger things to worry about than coronavirus.
Last story before I give you the results to Drop Madness and who's going to the finals. I just have to tell one story. The New York Rangers this afternoon put up a thing on Twitter, an announcement saying the first 500 of you can join us live, a Zoom Q&A with Keandre Miller. Keandre Miller is Don. He's of African American descent.
Yes.
And essentially, he's a black dude on the Rangers who had a Q&A.
Yeah, he's a minor leaguer. He's drafted. He hasn't played for them yet, but he's in their system.
So he's in the system. They do this Q&A. And Michael, some lunatic gets into the comments and starts text bombing the N-word. Mm. So it's filling up. It's not just like it's over and over again. It's paragraph after paragraph, and like no other comments can even get in. And this kid sat through the half-hour chat with N-words going the entire time. And I guess a lot of Rangers fans, Don, I'm reading the comments. They're all upset that the Rangers have not addressed what happened yet. They wanted to see him protected. They wanted to see the chat end. And now they're waiting for a statement from the Rangers. And, Don, I'm looking. It's comment after comment. Address the chat. Address the chat. Address the chat. Rangers fans are very upset that this kid was not protected better.
Well, they're listen, I know those people. John Rosasco does an amazing job. So I'm sure they will have some sort of a statement. I read this earlier today, guys. I don't know if you saw it. The FBI is warned about Zoom bombing because it's been happening. Think about this. It happened to Keandre, and it's awful. It's happening to children that are using Zoom for school classes. And it's all based on some people are hacking into the Zoom system with racial stuff like what happened to Miller, or they're playing porn videos. And what and reading about it as much as I could today, and then I tried to catch up during the break because you had given me the heads up about the story, mm-hmm. that the mistake that you make is trying to find the person and like deleting them out of it so you can continue with what you're doing. And that's just making things worse because you can't find the person because they've hacked it in. So I don't know whether the Rangers were just trying to get rid of that person, and obviously they should have just shut it down. I'm sure there is a reason why it went on as long as it did, but this Zoom bombing is a thing. Michael, I know your kids are probably using it too. We use Zoom to do this show, and the FBI is really concerned about it. I can't imagine why somebody would get their kicks doing something like this.
People are so sick.
In any normal situation, but what's going on right now... And listen, Keandre will hopefully be able to get over it, but if there's like a 10-year-old kid thinking he's in school and all of a sudden is exposed to pornography, you know.
But think about for Keandre, though. Think about it for a kid who's never done much media and he gets this opportunity to do a chat. And that's
if you look at the video, you want to cry. I mean,
it's horrifying.
I saw the video. It's awful.
Yeah, like as far as Twitter racial bullying can go, and it's a horrible place, it's as bad an example of it as you could possibly see. It's so aggressive. It's and then you see the kid's face, and he's young. He's a kid. It's just awful. Let's get to something upbeat. The finals for Drop Madness have been set. If you're looking at your bracket, on the left side, the representative will be the 2 seed from the Peter region, football.
They're playing football!
A 66-34 winner over Zach Britton.
Zach Britton!
And who will football meet in the final? That would be the 1 seed from the Don region, Eric Weddle.
Former Raven.
Replied.
Or current Raven.
Oh, like the game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
He's a Charger.
Oh, no, he's a Ram.
Wow. Who beat Andrews, take the L.
Just take the L.
67-33. Almost the exact same score in both matchups. This could be a good final.
Peter,
and you know what? That was the early voting, too. I mean, they jumped out to an early lead, and they never looked back.
Never. We didn't get to 3,000 votes, which hurts. We got to about 2,700, but both were blowouts. So
I gotta tell you, Peter, it's football against football. It's me against you.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is going to be a terrific final. Very disappointing Final Four, obviously, with the games being blowouts from the get-go. But I have a feeling that Monday this is going to be a tremendous championship game.
No, it won't. Weddle in a romp.
I don't know. The football does have yelling. Good. It's so good.
Weddle is so bad that it's so good.
That'll do it for
the height of incompetence right on our show, and I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's ENN on this Friday evening.
And I don't know if you saw this.
Andrew just rung in. He said, Michael's right. It won't be close.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
He kind of knows. He's kind of.
Yeah. Big bulletin board material for my drop, by the way. Andrew saying that.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.